we love you, Lord, and thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've been doing a series on spiritual gifts for like 7 weeks or something like that. And I taught the first week and gave a general overview and then turned it over to Bill, who Bill is the one who taught me a whole lot of this stuff. And, you know, it's been awesome getting to hear him teach through that again. And so tonight I'm going to cover the last three of the nine gifts that he didn't get to yet. And I'm also wanting to give an overview, kind of repeat some of the stuff I did the first night. If you have questions about anything that's been covered during this series or about spiritual gifts or anything else that's going on, I like questions in here because usually if there's someone with a question, they're probably not the only one with that question. So it's okay to ask questions. I just ask that we all be respectful of each other. So if you'll turn with me, I'm going to give an overview of how the gifts of the Spirit work and some ways to think about it that really helped me when I first started studying and experiencing this. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to begin reading verse 1. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says this. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now the word spiritual gifts there, does everybody's Bible say spiritual gifts or does this say something else? Spiritual gifts. Now does your Bible have the word gifts in italics? A lot of people's do. Okay, does anybody know what that means? What that means is that Greek, there wasn't a Greek word for gift there, but the translators added it to help it make sense. Because translating the Greek word directly does not have an exact English equivalent. The Greek word is pneumatikos. Let me spell this out for you. Pneumatikos. What does that look like? That first half of that word. Pneuma means air, or wind, or breath, or spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. And what this word in Greek means is spiritual expressions. Spiritual expressions. He says, now concerning spiritual expressions. Now, we know from the context as we continue reading this chapter that what he means here is that these are different ways that actually the Holy Spirit expresses himself. So another way to translate this that fits in the context will be now concerning different ways the Holy Spirit expresses himself. I do not want you to be ignorant. And really, this is one of the biggest things to learn about the gifts of the Spirit. Is that each gift of the Spirit is an instance of the Holy Spirit expressing himself. When a spiritual gift takes place, what you are seeing is the Holy Spirit, who is God, expressing himself in a way that's tangible or detectable to us. It's God communicating to us or through us or doing something in our midst that we can tangibly experience. That is awesome. And God does not want us to be ignorant about this. God wants us to understand this. Now, yes, Skip.
How does manifold fit into this? I know that you've been a good experience.
Manifold or manifest?
Well, both. I know that you've told us about manifold and manifest.
Well, manifold would mean like many or variety. Okay. And so that is true of the gifts of the Spirit, that they all, there's a wide variety. And even in one gift, it can be expressed in a variety of ways based on the personality of the person God's expressing himself through. And we're going to talk about that when we get to verses 4, 5, and 6. And manifestation is what I'm going to get to after that. So thank you. So God wants all of us to be okay with, used to, accustomed to, available, comfortable to whatever degree that's possible with this going on among us. He wants to use us God loves to express himself. And he could have chosen all kinds of ways to do that. He decided he wants to do it through his children. He wants to express himself through you. That's something to get excited about. Now we know in this letter, the context of 1 Corinthians, it's written to a church that is, you can tell by reading through the letter, they're not a very mature body of believers. Because the letter is having to include correction on issues like, it's not okay to get drunk during communion. That's in chapter 11. That kind of lets you know the level of maturity of the people this letter is written to. Or he's having to tell them it's not okay, like someone there is having an affair with his stepmother. And he's having to correct them on that. So they're not a very mature body of believers. And he even tells them in chapter 3 that you guys are spiritually immature, you're spiritual babies. You're not ready for solid food. All you can handle right now is milk. That's in chapter 3. That tells us that teaching on the gifts of the Spirit is milk. It's not meat. It's not a heavy subject that's off in the distance. Someday, after we've gone to seminary for 30 years, we're ready to learn about the gifts of the Spirit. It's something that's available right out of the gates. Someone that just got saved is an eligible candidate. So there are not maturity requirements or knowledge level requirements to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Those things help and those things are good, and we all want spiritual maturity is very good, but don't think of it as a prerequisite. Questions on that? Or comments? Okay, let's continue. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, I want to focus in on this word gifts right here. I like to build this up from the Greek because, to me, it's a very powerful way to demonstrate a huge facet of the way the gifts of the Spirit operate. So the Greek word, I'm going to start with its root. The Greek word is charis or charis. Does anybody know what that means? Grace. What does grace mean? That's a big question. What does grace mean?
Unmerited favor.
Grace means unmerited favor. What's another definition for grace? Anybody? Okay. Another one is undeserved goodwill. Undeserved goodwill. If you want to get down to what it really means, is it means something good coming to someone who deserves something bad. That's just a simple layman's way to define grace. If someone is... Yes?
It comes under the contract of the covenant.
What's that?
It comes under the contract of the covenant, being part of...
Grace can be a big part of a covenant and a contract, yes. So she's talking about it can be part of a contract or a covenant. And it absolutely is part of the new covenant that we're under. That is completely God's grace. Absolutely. One thing, when you're looking up the definitions of words in the Greek, they were used in the language of the day, not just in the Bible. Okay? So people that lived back then, that's the language they spoke. So charis had to mean something in their community. Even when people weren't Christians, it had to mean something outside of Christianity. So charis, does that make sense to everybody? I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes we end up defining Greek words based on Christian history or Christian theology. And that's good, but sometimes you lose some of the impact. I don't know why I went into that, but whoever that's for, receive that. So grace is something that reflects on the goodness of the giver, not on the goodness of the receiver. Grace reflects on the goodness of the giver, not on the goodness of the receiver. Because it is unmerited and undeserved. So by definition, if the receiver deserves it, then the word grace cannot be used. You would need to use a word that means payment, or reward, or wages. Grace means the person receiving it does not deserve it. And if you don't deserve it, that's what makes you eligible to receive it. So does anybody in here feel like they deserve to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Do you feel like you've earned it? Good. That means you're all eligible. You're all candidates. You meet the requirements. If you don't deserve to do it, then that you're a prime candidate. I like to hammer this so hard because in so many ways I've heard this taught, it comes down to we need to be holy and read our Bible more so the Holy Spirit can move. And it doesn't depend on how hard you're trying. If it depends on that, then it's not grace. There's a performance requirement. There's no performance requirement. God is the one who wants to do this. He's not responding to us, our attempts, feeble attempts at holiness. I love this. Because the playing field is completely level. Another thing this tells us is if you see someone that's operating in the gifts of the Spirit, your focus should not be on how good that person is. It should be on how good the Holy Spirit is, that He wants to commune with us in this way. That if someone's operating in the power of God, then you know for sure that that person doesn't deserve to be doing what they're doing. And if you ask people that have any maturity in operating in the power of God, they'll all tell you that. Why me? Questions on that? Let me bring out another thing this tells us. If you hear of let's say there's a minister that operates in the power of God and there's miracles, and then somehow it comes to light that they've been doing illegal activities too, or cheating on their taxes or something like that. History is littered with this kind of stuff. That has no reflection on whether them operating in the power was real. Because if you can sin so much that you can't be eligible, then that means it's still a performance requirement. The fact that God uses somebody that's cheating on their taxes to minister healing reflects on God's goodness, not on the person ministering. Evidently, that's important tonight, or I wouldn't be going over this 15 different ways. Okay, so if we take charis and we put an M-A on the end, that makes it plural. I'm sorry. That takes grace as a general idea and makes it a specific instance. So a specific instance of grace is translated charisma, and we usually in English, we call that a gift. So the word gift, and then if you want to make the word plural, you add a T-A on the end. That makes it gifts. Okay? Charismata. Anybody heard of charismatic Christians? That's a term that's used to label people that believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes that term is used negatively or positively. But I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You can call me whatever you want to. So this is so important to me that you realize that there are no performance requirements on you in order to operate the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to meet a level. You don't have to wait until you read all these books. Skip.
I think in the past that I was too constrictive on my theology in my head.
Yep, and see, there. To me, in my experience, Christianity is full of people like that. That they won't get started because they don't feel like they're good enough. Now, who do you think would be responsible for that kind of teaching? To keep everybody sitting on the bench until they achieve some unrealistic goal before they can get out in the game and start playing? Religion, the enemy, Bart?
Mm-hmm. Perspective, and it's been the hardest thing to try to shake that.
It is.
So drilled into my head.
It is. It's tough.
It's scary.
Let's. I think this is important tonight. Let's stay on this for a second. Let's go over to Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 12, but. And does anybody in here have a New Living Translation with them?
I do.
Okay, so I'm going to call on you in a minute to read one of these verses. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you or cast a spell on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by human performance, or by the hearing of faith? Or your translation may say by believing what you heard. It's a rhetorical question. Did you have the Holy Spirit come to live in you because you did everything right or because you believed? That's what he's asking. And the answer is obvious, because we believed. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Skip, will you read verse 3 from yours? Just read it loud, please. Verse 3.
I've got so much markings from this class.
I just love how the New Living translates this phrase.
All right, I'm going to start at 2.
Okay. Anybody hear that? When we are the wicked sinners that are lost, God died for us. Jesus died for us at that point with no performance requirements on us. That was his idea. And then he says, if you believe in me, you will not be condemned. And when we believe in him, the Holy God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you right then. Before you know anything. And so he's saying, if God has already done that, why do you think you're going to finish the race by trying so hard? By human effort. And see, for some reason, it seems like we are just suckers for religion. We can't, I don't want to declare this over us, but it seems like people have a hard time accepting the fact that it's a free gift from God. Like, it can't be that good. There's got to be something I'm supposed to do to deserve it. But if you start doing something to deserve it, then you are taking yourself out of the line to receive it, because you can only receive it if you don't deserve it. Yes.
Sunday, I was listening to, I think, Stanley.
Charles Stanley?
Charles Stanley.
Yeah, I like him.
you know, our mission is to open up missionary churches, and he went to Acts, and he talked about preaching of the gospel. But I'm like, I was waiting on him to talk about all the areas.
Okay. Know, yeah, you're right.
But that didn't come. So as I listened to him, and I felt like I was listening to him, you know, with a spiritual ear, I said, wow. I said, it's amazing how that doesn't come into a lot of the teaching. And maybe he did, but I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, I said, well, and that was just my assessment, not, you know,
yeah,
condemning him or anything
right
like that. But, it, you know, I listened to him sometime, but it's like some of the things that, be, that are said, that you don't hear everything that we're learning today.
Yep, you don't always hear that everywhere. Now, I can't speak for Charles Stanley, but I know in my history, I mean, I was a Christian for a long time before I ran into any of these things I'm talking about in here. And, like, this is the fun part. Like, you get to see somebody get healed. That's awesome. That's exciting. Jason.
I was going to bring this up earlier, but I held my tongue. It was like, let's see what else comes out in class. Now I know that I'm going to bring this up.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, and so learning about Jesus, that's the most important. Learning about salvation, that's very important. But that's not all of it.
Exactly.
And so it's a false argument to think that, no, we can't talk about that because we have to focus on Jesus. Jesus wants us to focus on these things. It's that we just read, he does not want us to be ignorant about expressions of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Bible says, pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, or the stuff with the power of God. Eagerly desire it. It's not, you don't have to choose one or the other. You're supposed to have both. Good points, everybody. So in Galatians 3, I'm going to read verse 5 now. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, or by believing what you heard? And so many times, even now I have to fight with this. But God wants to do something through me, and I start disqualifying myself because I know myself. And I know the ways I've messed up. And so God wants to do something, but you're saying, no, I can't because I'm not whatever. You're disqualified. Yeah, I'm not qualified. Did you know that the Bible tells you that you've already been qualified and you're not the one that did it, God did it? In Colossians 1:12, God has qualified us. Past tense. I love that verse. So you are qualified. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you received salvation? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Then you are qualified. Let's all say that. I'm qualified. My Father has qualified me.
My Father has qualified.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Skip.
I love this on number 5 in this translation. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit, work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ.
So there you had it. I mean, really, you can't argue against this point. If it's the power of God, then it's coming to people that don't deserve it because that's all he has to choose from. I like to say it this way. God uses imperfect people because that's all he's got to choose from. I love it.
I got to add one more thing. This
okay.
Is coming to ascend up to heaven after the 40 days.
Yeah.
And he says, believe me, it's better off if I leave. Because this would have never happened if he never did. Because Pentecost would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that revelation is so simple, but it's so... The whole message carries that weight into the next 2,000 years to where we are now. And his sovereignty has a plan. So it's like, that just keeps blowing me away.
See, when I think about that, human beings experiencing the power of God is not an idea that we came up with and we're trying to talk God into doing it. It's his idea. He's the one that made this up. He wants to do it. That's why I don't like a posture of prayer that's like we're begging God to pour out his power, like he doesn't want to. God wants to show his power. He is the one who started that. I think a better posture is to be thankful and just start to believe it. And start to believe the things he says about you, that you're qualified. You have what it takes. I love it. Okay, back over to chapter 12, please. So verse 4 said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, two things to point out here. One, you see the Trinity in verse 4, 5, and 6. Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and God the Father. And any time the supernatural is going on, all three of them are involved. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are always in unity about everything they do. So it's not that the Holy Spirit wants to do these things, but God and Jesus don't want to. If it's happening, all three of them are in agreement. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Next, it's talking about there's different kinds of gifts. There's different kinds of ministries. Another way to think about that is there's different ways that each person will operate the gifts. It may look different from person to person. And then verse 6 says there's different activities. I like a translation that says there's different effects or different workings, which means it brings into this thing where when you're the one that's operating in the gift, that whatever gift is in operation, there's different kinds of gifts, and then the same gift will look different coming through different people. And when it comes through that person, God produces the effect in the one it's intended for, and there's different ways that happens. And what I like about this, thinking about it this way, is I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm responsible to listen to what God's saying and do it the best I can and trust Him with the results. I know Bill talks about this a whole lot. Don't take yourself into the equation. That's something I've heard him tell me a lot of times. If God tells you to say something and you say it, then it's not your responsibility what the people do with it. That's a relief. You know why that is? Because we are not supposed to control people. You give them and let them make a choice. That's how God treats us. Okay. On to verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And this is the other big word. One of the big words with the gifts of the Spirit is grace. And the other big word I want you to grab hold of is this word manifestation and what that means. Manifestation, the simplest definition I have come across, means to become detectable to your senses. To become detectable to your senses. When something manifests, that means it's tangible to you somehow. Either physically, mentally, whatever. But it's you can experience it. Skip.
I like the way you just explained that because
It doesn't have to be visible. Sometimes, so this, what we're talking about is the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish something. So let me draw this. Where's my eraser? So I am going to give you a diagram that applies. This just shows you how the gifts of the Spirit work. I even hesitate to say that, but I'm just going to say it. All right. So let's say this is going to represent the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, but I can't draw this and it makes sense if I put him inside of you. But I'm just trying to show the flow of information. And here is you. And then over here, I'll say others. That can be one person. That can be a group of people. And the gift of the Spirit work like this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agree together that they want to do something for that group of people or that other individual. And they choose you and give the gift to you in that instant. And you, by faith, operate the gift and they receive the results of it, the benefit of it. Okay? It's kind of like you are getting to be FedEx for the Holy Spirit. You're getting to deliver something very cool from God. You're not responsible for buying the package. You're just responsible to deliver it. And once you deliver it, you're not responsible for what they do with it, like we said a minute ago. And so what this right here, this part of the line, is a manifestation of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit making himself detectable to you, and when you do whatever he's showing you, everyone will get to experience the Holy Spirit tangibly. So last week, when Bill started giving his testimony about getting delivered from alcohol, I was sitting right there, and it smelled like someone took a cup full of liquor breath and passed it under my nose, and it went from right to left, right under my nose. And I smelled it with my, And when that happened, I don't know how he does this, but I knew instantly that there's somebody in the room that struggles with alcohol and God doesn't want them to be stuck in that. And so whatever method he chooses, he knows how to communicate with you. Now, I've never had a smell one before, but I will say it was pretty cool. And so when that happened, I knew someone in here struggles with alcohol somehow. And so what I did was I got up and I just said, you know, if you struggle with alcohol, I'm going to pray for you. And I just said, you know, God doesn't want you to be stuck with that. And then I prayed some prayer. And what happened there was the Holy Spirit knew that somebody was having trouble and he wanted to bless them. And he picked me, and the manifestation was that smell. And then when I got up and acted on it, the person got the benefit. And then I don't have to go home and wonder if they received it or not, because I'm not responsible for that. Or if you're ever here on a Sunday and you hear Brian at the end, he'll say, someone has a pain in their knee. You know what I'm talking about? Something like that. Or Bill is, we have that in here. You probably saw that some last... At the end of class last week, Bill was getting a lot of those. Those are called words of knowledge. That's one of the manifestations of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is communicating with the person ministering in some way that they can make sense of, and then they act on it, usually by speaking or taking some kind of action. Some of the ways I've had a word of knowledge before is sometimes I just know it. I can't tell you how I know it. I just know something. To me, that's a good way to find out that God's talking to you, because you're wondering, like, why am I thinking about neck pain right now? Or, you know, whatever it is. And so one thing you'll learn as you begin to operate in these things is that you're never going to get to a time where it doesn't require faith on your part. If there are any requirements, there's one, that's it. You have to believe it enough to step out and go for it. Because it's not usual that I feel absolutely 100% certain about it. Like last week with the smell, with the alcohol coming under my nose. I could have sat there and said, well, you know, that's just weird. And just sat there and ignored it. Like I had a choice. You'll always have a choice. Does that make sense to everybody? So I've had it before where we go to pray for somebody and we walk in the house and right then my knee starts hurting and there's nothing wrong with my knee. And I'll say, is something wrong with your knee? Yeah. And so God let me know that something's wrong with their knee by giving me that feeling. That's another way he can tell you. Or he can show you pictures of stuff or visions. A lot of times when I'm teaching, he'll pop a picture in my head of what I'm supposed to draw. Or, I don't know what to call this, but when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I started having this thing happen where I would know where the stuff is in the Bible without knowing where it is in the Bible. And a lot of times that looks like an out-of-focus Bible behind me somewhere, and like one part of it kind of comes in clear, and there's no writing or numbers there that I can read. I'll just know Jeremiah 16:4. And it's just how it looks. It's hard to describe that. But whenever he does that, it makes sense to me, and I learn how to trust that. So any questions on what a manifestation of the Spirit, what that means? Would anybody like to share maybe an example of you having this experience? Yes.
And how the story, and I denied it. And I tapped Bill and told him, I said, I'm sorry, but Bill, can you, it just kept coming up and up. And then you smelled it.
Yep, right. As soon as he started talking.
I denied it, and it just kept.
But it wouldn't go away.
It wouldn't go away. And I kept saying, I don't want to interrupt the flow.
Right. And so that was just an impression in your mind. Somehow you just knew something.
It was like, Bill needs to tell his story about how you see.
Right.
And okay. And then you come up and say that. I'm like, wow. I went away. It was awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Can someone else share an example maybe? Something that's different than what we've said so far. But how does it come? Like what? Does it come in your mind, or how does it?
Oh, well, if I'm teaching, there may be a video I need to show a student something, and then I'm not sure why I'm going exactly there because that wasn't where I was going to begin with, and it winds up exactly what they need at the time.
Yes.
And I'm so used to it.
Yeah. And so now that you brought that up, sometimes it'll come to you and it will seem so obvious to you. Like, of course, I know that's not God because that's just so obvious. But when that's coming to you, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith because it's probably not obvious to anybody else but you. It's obvious to you because God told you that. Okay, anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you can be, like when we have ministry time at the end and it just seems obvious this is what we need to do. You know, and you're waiting on the Lord. I'm not talking about being out of order, but like, and you may talk yourself out of it because you say, well, everybody knows that. But I would just say, just take a chance and go for it. Yeah.
Has anyone in the room ever had the Holy Spirit prepare them to take yourself out of harm's way?
Yes.
That, to me, has been coming through me with some situations I've been
in. Yeah.
Thank you, God, for preparing me for something that could possibly.
Yes.
And wow.
And nothing's based on fear. It comes without fear. So what you felt wasn't fearful at all. It was just an understanding.
Yeah, the warning won't come with fear, yeah.
It was a preparation of saying you need to protect yourself in this situation.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of warning, usually when he warns me of something, it comes with a sense of peace about it, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Like, God doesn't put fear on us to lead us.
No.
Right. He puts peace on us. Yes.
And is that saying, like, when you're dreaming, because sometimes you try to discern, you know, is that dream, you're trying to understand whether or not the dream is something that the Holy Spirit is showing you,
mm-hmm.
or the enemy is seeping into your
right.
mind and trying to mess
yep.
with you.
Yep. So, like, in cases like that, it's just a good idea to just take that to the Lord and say, Lord, are you trying to speak something to me here? If so, I just pray you help me understand it or send somebody across my path or something. Because if he's telling you that, he wants you to understand his speaking. He may have shown it to you now. He's going to explain it later. But it's okay to have that dialogue and that communion with them. Yes, that's very, very appropriate. Okay.
And, you know, it was dramatic. Couldn't find the key. And when I dropped my husband off this morning, I said, well, I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit really, you know, help me locate that
key. Yeah.
And so, went in his room, we did, looking for the key, and I just kept saying, Holy Spirit, show me where the key. So I asked my son to kind of tell me, what were you doing, you know, and he goes back over, relive the experience, and I said, okay, did you throw anything in the garbage? And he said, Ma, I looked in the bag where I had all my school papers and everything. I said, well, and something just told me, like, sometimes if you have, you're throwing something away, you have,
yeah.
I told him,
right.
I had some coin, and when I went to put the thing in the garbage, I also dropped the money there, too, and I had to go, oh, my goodness, I didn't
right.
want to do that. And he said, well, I'll look in the garbage for you. He said, no, I'll go look. And he pulled out, and lo and behold, he pulled out the key.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. He looked at me like in this strange way.
Yep. He does that. He helps us. I love it. Like, the Holy Spirit, one of his names is the Helper.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? He named himself the Helper. Right, so Bill has covered 6 of the 9 gifts, and I'm going to go through those very briefly, because I want to spend some time on the last 3 that he did not cover. So I'm going to leave my diagram. That's not going to leave me much room to write, but I'm going to do 3 at a time. So these first 3, to me, it helps me understand. I group them into groups of 3. You may have heard this taught this way before. But the first 3 I'm going to call the revelatory, let me call them the knowing gifts. The gifts where you know something. These are gifts of revelation, where God gives you some information. And these are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now, I'm going to give definitions of these, and please ask me if these don't make sense to you, okay? A word of knowledge, here's a great way to think about a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. A word of knowledge is a mustard seed of God's knowledge. It's a small little piece of something God knows about. Like when God knew that somebody was struggling with alcohol. And he told me that he communicated that to me. That was a word of knowledge. Okay? A word of wisdom is a mustard seed of God's wisdom. Wisdom is like the right application or the right choice to make, or the sometimes it will be insight into God's plan or what He's going to do in the future. If you want to think of it this way, all the prophecies in the Bible that were spoken about Jesus before He was born, those are all words of wisdom. It's insight into God's plan. It's not that you're a wise person. It's that God gave you a nugget of wisdom to use in the moment. Kind of like if you call a lawyer for legal advice, the lawyer will give you some of his wisdom on the matter. But that doesn't mean that now you're a lawyer and that you know everything. You just got what you needed for the moment. So a word of wisdom, okay, so a word of knowledge will often be informative, where a word of wisdom will often be instructive. Informative versus instructive. A word of knowledge will usually be informative. It's usually information about something that's already true. Where a word of wisdom will oftentimes be instructive. Like it may include some instructions about the future. So when my wife Teresa was healed, and Bill was praying for her, and God showed him a picture of her touching the mailbox in his neighborhood, he told her to go touch the mailbox. That was a word of wisdom. Okay? Yes.
He said that knowledge, if I recall right, knowledge is either past or present, and wisdom is future.
Yeah, that's another way to think about it. Or wisdom can be the right answer. Like, although the Bible doesn't say this, I like to think that when the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, and they said, shouldn't we kill her according to the law of Moses? And Jesus had this epic reply. He said, sure, but whoever is without sin cast the first stone. Like, I would like to think that was wisdom from his Father right there being spoken out. But when in the Bible, when you see someone under the power of the Holy Spirit telling somebody to go do something, that's a word of wisdom. Like Peter, go cast your thing and the first fish you pull out will have a coin in its mouth. Or cast your net on the other side of the boat. That can be thought of as a word of wisdom. Now while we're on this, the important part is not knowing what to call each one. Because sometimes you can call them, the Bible doesn't say, and by the way, that was a word of knowledge. The important part is that you recognize the Holy Spirit is operating through people in some way. And you can't, sometimes the gifts of the Spirit are mixed together, like there's two or three happening at the same time. And so it helps me to think about them not like a spreadsheet with boxes, but rather like a rainbow where they bleed together. That's just helpful to me. And usually when you're doing it, you're not trying to figure out, is this word of knowledge or word of wisdom? Like that's usually not going through your mind, I hope. Discerning of spirits is being supernaturally able to detect or discern the source of something you're seeing or the presence of a spiritual being. It's kind of like you have a Holy Spirit, you have a spirit realm radar that gets cranked up. Or it may be that you're able to see in the spirit where you can't normally see.
So it can detect something in the spirit?
Yes. So maybe trying to think of one where this happened to me. Like sometimes you can be, like when I'm ministering to somebody, I'll know there's a demon involved. And that's going on. That's either a word of knowledge or a discerning of spirits. Sometimes I've been able to see them, but that's unusual for me. Normally it would be more like I know it.
Mm-hmm. You know because you know.
Yeah. Or like you walk into somewhere and you know there's something's off in here.
Right. Okay.
Something is not godly in this place. Okay? That's an example. Or sometimes, and it's not only for detecting demons, it's for detecting angels. Anytime in the Bible you see where someone saw angels, that's, I call that a discerning of spirits, because they're able to see something that's invisible. And I, not everybody would agree with this part of the definition, but I think about it this way. Sometimes you'll know the spirit of someone that you're interacting with. I don't know how to say it other than that. Somehow you'll be able to know the spirit of the person you're dealing with. Whether they're a godly person or whether they're on the losing team. Yeah. Now, this is not the gift of being suspicious of people.
Although that can happen.
If you're ignorant, well, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. That's ignorant.
Right.
Okay? Make sense? So those are the gifts where you know something. Questions on that before I move on to the next three? Yes?
We deal with folks that walk in benevolence.
Okay.
And that's very important. Mm. Mm-hmm. Can't always do it, but sometimes you can just, like you said, you just know.
Yes.
This is a scammer, or this is whatever.
Yes, you just know it. That's an example of that. There's one, like an example, another example in the Bible that when Paul in Acts 16 was, he came to a town and there was a slave girl that started following them around saying, this man is the great power of God who's going to tell you the way of salvation. And that sounds really good. And then Paul turns around and he says, in the name of Jesus, you unclean spirit, come out of her. He knew that was a demon doing that somehow. Because the enemy does not want you to know it's him doing it. He can work a lot more effectively if he can remain undetected, usually. Does that make sense? So Paul somehow knew there's a demon doing this, and he turned around and commanded it to come out of that girl, and it left. Okay. The next group, I call them the doing, like the last group was knowing, this is the doing. Some people call these the power gifts. All of these gifts are power gifts, but these are ones, I'm just going to say doing, that's how I group them together. This would include gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and faith. Now, I think these are probably self-explanatory, but the gifts of healing, all of these gifts work the same way. The Holy Spirit wants to do something, and He gives somebody a gift, and they act in faith and deliver it, and it's received, and you get the benefit of it. So, we've had people in here that got healed while we were teaching, without anybody praying for them. That's a gift of healing that is initiated by God. Working of miracles. Same idea. God tells you to do something, you do it, and something amazing happens. Like hold your staff out over the Red Sea. Lots of examples of that. Faith. This one's not always as easy to define, so I want to spend a little bit more time on this. This is a mustard seed of God's faith. God is not ever in doubt or unbelief. And when He was about to make the universe and say, let there be light, He wasn't nervous, wondering if it wasn't going to work and He was going to be embarrassed in front of the angels. He said, light be, and it was. There was no question. So when the gift of faith comes on you, it will usually cause you to do something you wouldn't normally do. And then later, you'll be wondering, why did I do that? Because that gift has lifted off of you. It's already been used. At least that's been my experience. Let me give you an example of this from my personal life. I know some of y'all have heard this story more than once. I got shingles one time, and that is terrible. And it was in my scalp. Not fun. I don't recommend that. And it was getting worse, and I went to the doctor at work. He said, "This is shingles." And he showed me this book of people having stuff all in their eye and all this stuff. And I know that was the enemy trying to put fear on me, and I just rejected that. But anyway, he showed me that stuff. He gave me a prescription. He says, "Go get this filled and start taking this stuff, and it'll probably clear up in a couple weeks." I'm walking out of his office. I call my wife, Teresa. I say, "Hey, this is shingles. I've got to go get my medicine." I hang up the phone. Before I get in my car, she calls me back. And the voice coming through the phone is my wife, but it is my wife under the gift of faith. She says, "You do not go get that medicine. You don't need that. You're not going to have to worry about it." Something like that. And so I could feel the power of that coming off of that. And so I was like, okay. So I hung up the phone and I didn't go get my medicine. And then when I got home from work that day, she was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know why I told you that." And we were both having the struggle with, like, because he said it can come down your face and get in your eye. I don't want that. You know? And so we were like, we weren't going back, but we were struggling. And then that night, it just so happened, we were going over to Rob and Joanna's house. Do y'all remember this? And we were sitting in the living room, and Joanna gets up and comes over, and she says, "God says to you that if you will believe him, he will do what he said." Isn't that awesome? And so that settled it for me. Like, God was confirming. And so I didn't go get my medicine. This was Thursday. I got up Friday. My condition was worse. Saturday, it was worse than Friday. Sunday, it was worse than Saturday. Monday, it was almost entirely gone, and Tuesday, it was gone out of my body. No medicine. The medicine was supposed to take 2 weeks. And my appointment with the doctor was Tuesday. And so I went in there, and he said, "Wow." You know, I said, "Yeah, I never went and got the medicine." And he was like, "What?" And I told him what I just told you guys. And he's a Christian, but he said... He said something funny. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, that was the gift of faith. That wasn't our normal faith at that time. The fact that she said something and later was like, "Why did I do that?" But when she said it, there was no doubt. Okay? That is, it's hard to pick a favorite, but man, it's fun when it's on you. Because you feel like you're Superman. Like, everything's going to work. And wouldn't it be great if we always believed like that? Questions on these three? All right. The last three. These are called the speaking gifts. Or gifts where you say something. Yeah, prophecy. Diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues. Prophecy, diverse or different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So prophecy. Prophecy, the simplest definition I have found, is to speak under divine influence. To speak under divine influence. That means you are saying some words God wants you to say, and when the words come out of your mouth, they have His power built into them to go do something when they land. I want to, have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden the things you're saying are not you? And it's like really awesome? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're like, man, I need to write this down. This is good. That's one level of that. You're speaking under divine influence, and God's power is in the things you're saying. And it's producing an effect in the person you're talking to.
Could that be like a counseling session?
It could happen during a counseling session. Now again, this would be, it's a temporary, another definition of the gift of the Spirit, a temporary burst of divine power to overcome an obstacle or meet a need. Okay? It's not a skill you walk around with. It's temporary. And once it happens, that one's over until the next time it comes. You can think of the gifts of the Spirit like firecrackers. Like, once you use it, it's been used. But there's an infinite supply of them available. But you only use one of them one at a time. What do you mean it doesn't manifest?
Okay. I'll talk about my own.
Well, you can be general if you want. Okay. That's up to you.
Yeah, well,
I just want to understand the question before I answer it. That's why I'm asking.
So I would say a couple of weeks, maybe almost a month ago, I went up for prayer, and I was being interviewed for two jobs.
Okay.
And I was going up for prayer about that because I've been unemployed for a long time.
Okay. Okay.
It was such a serene, comforting, and I felt really, and I told her what I was,
okay.
My needs were. And she had got, that's what she said. She said, I believe, you know, that, and I want to make sure I understood. It was confirming one of those positions.
Okay.
But the way she said it, it kind of increased my confidence.
Okay. Okay.
And so, I didn't get one of the jobs. I haven't heard back from one of them. But then, I'm getting a slew of interviews. I'm like, whoa, something like, you know. So, that's happening. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe it wasn't about the job. Maybe what is actually happening, neither one of us might. I don't know how to say it, but you know, you try sometimes when you get a word, you try to kind of, it could be because you're having some wishful thinking.
Yeah.
And, or you just felt so strong about what was said that you have that faith. And
See, sometimes prophecy can produce that faith when it hits you like that, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know, but then I didn't get that particular job.
So. Yes, so I don't know the answer to that. Situations like that, anytime someone's given me a word, I always like to go talk to the Lord about it. And I like to say, Lord, because sometimes God's going to tell you something that he's going to do no matter what you do. But sometimes he'll give you some things that you have to make some choices about, you know? Like when God told the man, when Jesus told the man to go wash his eyes out after he put mud in his eyes, that man had to choose to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have said, forget you, and left. Right? So, I just like to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, are you telling me this is what's going to happen, or is there something you want me to do?
Right.
And if he went through all the trouble to have some lady come talk to you, mm-hmm. then he can tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That was when I had the sensation, to me, that was me believing that
okay.
God was speaking to me.
Yeah.
because I didn't get that job, I wasn't like let down. I was almost like, oh, okay. It was a peaceful acceptance.
Yeah.
And but again, it's like I'm getting a lot of interviews, and
yeah.
some of the interviews I'm getting, I didn't even apply for the job.
Okay.
So I'm confident that the Father has something.
Well, I am confident that He does too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I don't know how to answer that.
Right.
Okay. Rob.
I felt the Holy Spirit saying that when you went up for prayer and all of a sudden everything was so serene and peaceful and you felt confident,
mm-hmm.
I heard my dad say, son, keep your job. It's always easier to get a job if you got a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the Holy Spirit wants you to go to all these interviews that are happening now as if you already have a job and the confidence that you got that morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, so great.
So prophecy, and you can see how prophecy may include a word of knowledge. Like God may give you information, then when you get up to say it, His power is on your words, you know. So sometimes these things mix together. Thank you, Rob, for that. So prophecy is a way of the Holy Spirit. Another way to define prophecy. The Holy Spirit communicating to people through you in the language of the hearers in a way that they can understand. Okay? God communicating with you, through you to others in the language of the hearers. I had one of the first times I had this happen to me. They're not always this strong like this, but this one was very strong. And I was at a worship service, and some negative things had just happened in the church I was visiting. And they were up there. Everybody was praying and kind of distraught. And while we're singing the song, I had been baptized with the Holy Spirit not long before this. So I was just speaking in tongues like just going off. I was enjoying myself. It was great. And I was just praising God. And then it was like these big words made out of light just kind of came at me like this. And I saw them without seeing them. I don't know how to. But they were big. It's like big lit up words.
Okay.
It was like a burst of light and these words were in them. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I was like, wait a minute, you want me to go up there and say that? And then my chest goes, shoo, 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 like, anybody know what I'm talking about? And it seems like God has this dial on your back that He can turn up the intensity in your body, and He just turns it up to 15. And so I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But it's like, if I don't go do it, I'm going to explode. And so I went up to the front, and they let me come up there and handed me the microphone. And I said the message, and when I said it, the room just totally stopped. I mean, it was awesome. And the person leading the music time got down on one knee and was like, we need to come before the Lord right now. I mean, it totally changed the whole atmosphere. And I'm as surprised as everybody else, even though it just came out of my mouth. But I start walking back to my seat, and God let me feel His heart about what was going on. And I just started crying uncontrollably. And it was like, anyway, it was but all I did was I got up and I delivered the mail. And God got the effect He wanted. Skip.
Did you send an email to the lady at work?
No.
About changing from Tuesday to Wednesday? You reached out and God's been talking to you about
it. Yeah, yeah.
So is that another example where you just sending an
email? That's just being led by the Spirit, yeah. I wouldn't call that prophecy, but yeah, that is the Holy Spirit's orchestrating all that as we're trying to follow Him in faith, yes. Yes. But prophecy, I would just want to say, this is communicating to people in the language that they speak, okay? Now, tongues and interpretation often work together to produce the same end result, But it's a process where God will give someone, get someone an unction to get up and speak in tongues out loud, and then he will give that same person or someone else in the room the interpretation of what was just said in tongues. So when this happens, tongues plus interpretation produces the same end result as prophecy. The people are communicated to in a language they understand, even though this involves two steps. So I've been on both sides of that. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. One night in here, during the middle of class, someone started talking, and I felt like I was supposed to go pray for them, so I just stopped and said, "Sir, can I pray for you?" And so, as I walked over to him, I realized I didn't know what I was supposed to pray for. And so when I got there, I didn't know what to pray, and I just said, "Do you mind if I pray in the Spirit?" He said, "Sure." So I did, and then I said a couple, "Yeah, y'all were in here." And so then I came back and I continued teaching. And then at the end of class, the gentleman made a comment about something. And then Jason said, "God gave me the interpretation of the tongue you prayed earlier." And he shared it. And he, whatever he said made the man start crying. And the man said, "That's what my pastor told me 10 years ago. Wow. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was awesome, wasn't it? Now, when I went over there, I didn't know all that was going to happen. I was just going with what I was led to in the moment. Okay, so that was an example of me operating in different kinds of tongues. Interpretation, I'll give an example of that. I was over at Bill's house one time, and we had a pretty good-sized group of people over there, and this lady gets up, and she starts speaking in tongues very forcefully. And then she sits down, and someone else in the room got the first half of the interpretation of what was just said in tongues. And she said, "Just as the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness, some of you are about to be going into a wilderness experience." And while she was saying that, this information came to me about that passage of Scripture I have never even dreamed of. And it was so amazing, and I knew that was the rest of the message. And so when she finished talking, I said, "And the rest of the message is, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to win. And so you're being led into the wilderness to win." Right? I had never thought of that, but the Holy Spirit just dropped that in my brain. Can somebody get that door? Somebody? Okay. Okay. You can just pull the door. Okay, okay. That's fine. Sometimes different kinds of tongues don't require an interpretation if it's not communicating to people that need to know what you're saying. Okay, sometimes when you're praying for someone, you'll find yourself speaking in tongues and you know that you're not really the one doing that. You're kind of surfing or riding along with it. Anybody ever been praying in tongues and you realize that God is the one energizing this rather than your normal prayer language? Anybody? Yes. This happens to my wife when we minister a lot. That she'll just start speaking in tongues and then something cool, really cool happens. One night she's praying for this girl, and she gets through. The girl says, "You were just speaking Spanish to me, telling me about my childhood." And it wasn't Spanish. Like, I took Spanish in high school. I'm not an expert, but I knew that wasn't Spanish. But the girl heard it in Spanish. That is awesome. You know, a couple things like that. So this is different than your prayer language that you get when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is what I want to end with, is explaining this difference. When it's the gift of tongues, that in 1 Corinthians 12, it is initiated by the Holy Spirit. And the communication is meant to bless someone else. Does that make sense? So the flow is this way, from the Holy Spirit through you to someone else. But your prayer language, or the language that you receive when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that when you do that, you are speaking to God and no one understands you. So when you're praying in tongues, the communication is going in the opposite direction. It's you talking to God in a language that only He understands. Okay? Now that type of praying, is you can initiate that anytime you want to. And you're encouraged to pray in the Spirit at all times. Ephesians 6:18. God wants you to speak in tongues a lot. But when it's the gift of tongues, it is something that's going to be initiated by the Holy Spirit, not by you. And there will be a purpose in mind to usually bless someone else. There is so much confusion on that, and to me it seems so simple. Questions on that?
There always will be an interpretation.
I hesitate to say always, but I would expect there to be. But just because, so let's say the Holy Spirit had you get up and speak in tongues, okay? And you, if you're like me, you would have to work through, okay, you know, because I've had him tell me that before, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. And I didn't do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I chickened out. But you know what? If you chicken out, you're not out of the game. Isn't that good? Because it's grace. But he can have told you to do it, and maybe you worked up the courage to do it, and you did it, and then nobody ever said the interpretation. Well, someone else in the room got the interpretation, but they didn't get up the courage to say it. Maybe. Possibly. Make sense, everybody? That's why I say it requires faith to do these things. Yes?
I just wanted to go to 1 Corinthians 14:26, which is order of church meetings.
Yes.
And
love that verse.
What we hear is, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church.
So
it's not always, it's not a guarantee that somebody's going to speak in tongues and there'll be an interpretation in the corporate.
Yeah. Topic. Right. And just, so the way I'm saying it, thank you. The reason I'm saying this the way I am, because, so, you know, especially in here, okay? I try to make this a place where it's okay to mess up, because all of us are learning how to ride our bike, and nobody is perfect. And so sometimes in here, and it's hard to step out in faith sometimes, I understand that. And so I appreciate when someone's willing to go for it, and if you stand up and speak in tongues because you feel like God's telling you to, and you don't hear an interpretation, I don't want you to go home and feel like you wrecked the car. Because sometimes it requires other people to cooperate too, okay? And so in here, this is an environment where I try to make it safe for us to learn and take chances and stuff like that. That's very important to me. Let me say this. It's important to learn by study and teaching, but it's equally as important to learn by doing it. Because if all you do is study and listen to teachings, you're going to eventually turn into an armchair quarterback and a Pharisee who knows everything and wants to point out how other people aren't doing it right. But it's different when you're the one doing it. So I just encourage you all to kind of seek a balance in your learning to where you're willing to take some chances. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are like a great coach of a team that wants the team to win. And imagine if you're the coach, you would rather have somebody who's going to swing the bat and miss than to never swing at the ball. And you can see Jesus' attitude with his disciples throughout the Gospels like this. They're not doing everything right, but he tells them, if they reject you, then they're rejecting me. Like, he's always got their back, even though they're screwing it up. I love that so much. So let's say you go for it and things don't turn out the way you expected. Don't get condemned. Just go back to the coach and say, Coach, help me. Show me where I'm missing it. He'll help you. Any questions on any of this? Anybody? All right. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have ministry time for anybody that needs prayer. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I just am so grateful for an opportunity where we can get together and talk about these things and share with each other and learn from each other. I thank you that you're always so faithful just to bring understanding. And you said your word is like good seed, that when it finds good soil, it always produces fruit. 30, 60, and 100 fold. So, Father, your word has come forth tonight out of the Bible and out of us speaking to each other, your message, and we receive it, Lord. We are the good soil, and we receive your good word, Lord. And so we know that that is going to work and produce fruit in us. So I just thank you, Lord, for in advance for all the fruit that we're going to see. And I just bless your people. I just speak blessings on each one. I bless their finances. I speak blessing over their relationships. I speak blessing over their physical, mental, emotional well-being. Your blessing, Lord. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.